City Blues, where we follow a group of runners as they get in way over their heads out in the streets of Chicago. Enjoying a pint at the Rusty Dragon, we have Reetin, played by Nathan.
Nothing goes over my head. I am too fast.
And packing a pipe of Flayleaf, we have Aristotle, played by Alex.
It ain't right.
Are we doing a crossover episode?
And enjoying a quiet life at Sandpoint, we have Riel, played by Nicole.
What?
What the hell's going on around here?
Slumbering peacefully under a gigantic mountain, we have Mar, played by Clinton.
Hello.
And standing at the mirror outside of town, we have a brand new character played by Chris.
Hey, wait a minute. What? I'm so confused. Are these my hands? What happened to my hands?
And I am Connor, your chaos coordinator. Let's play some Pathfinder.
Is this an April Fool's Day episode?
You guys don't. Okay, let's play Shadowrun.
Yep.
Let's play Shadowrun.
Whew, Riel, it's a blast from the past.
When we last left our heroes, they had completed a run for Dan Johnson of Haven Brewery. With shipments able to go once more, his time and efforts can be turned to more important matters, and have received an offer to take up residence on the fortified Goose Island. Those who have taken up Dan on his offer have spent the time between our sessions getting moved into their new abodes. It is Thursday, February 1st, and you have just finished settling into your new living space. What do you do?
Just enjoying my new digs, the teepee setup outside.
Yeah, that's right. You guys got a new setup. You got a new place to live. Did anybody want to go first talking about their living space? I did kind of want to take a moment and at least peek our heads into where everyone's going to be putting their heads down.
Well, mine's just going to be like my normal house because I lived in a very small space anyway with basically just my computer's fridge and, you know, a dishwasher and stuff. So it's pretty much the same. I wanted to talk about the bathroom situation. Do we each get our own bathroom?
I think with the low lifestyle, you guys have 4 to 5 suites on this level with one bathroom.
One bathroom?
You can go to another floor and try to use their bathroom, but the bathroom on this floor is the one for y'all. So hopefully you guys keep it clean.
All right.
I sure hope so.
I don't know how I feel about River Bear and me sharing a bathroom.
Okay, there is probably accommodations that have meta-humanity equality in mind.
Okay.
So there is probably a troll-sized bathroom and a dwarf-sized bathroom that is available to you.
Okay.
Is everyone just going to overlook how racist Reetin just was, though?
Is there a difference?
What? It's not being racist. I'm just saying that he is...
It was textbook racism.
He's three
times... I don't want to share a bathroom with a troll, okay? How's that not racist?
Equal meta-humanity rights.
What I said is he is far larger than I am. It's based on his height.
Are you afraid that I'd flush you down?
Yes.
You'll fall in?
The excrement that you put out is the size of me.
I'm just saying if there is a sign that says trolls only, I'm going to take that sign down.
It does not say trolls only, but that is the expected troll restroom.
Can you imagine the idea of a troll using a human-sized bathroom? That just is...
Hey, man, if you really got to go...
It's cruel and unusual punishment.
Guys are thinking about it? Probably don't need to think about it.
But now that we are thinking about it, we can't stop thinking about it.
Well, that's a bunch of crap. Did anybody want to go over their rooms, get out of the bathroom, and talk about their living spaces?
Oh, well, if you went to Lester Moore's dorm, you'll notice that it's quite pristine. The bed is made, everything, the pillow has been fluffed, and the sheets are tight. You'll notice that there is a foot trunk at the base of my bunk bed. I sleep on the top bunk, that's by choice. You'll notice that there is a small box of comic books and magazines, and then you'll see some drawings from the kids, like on the refrigerator, held with refrigerator magnets. And it's very clean. It's almost as if I spend all my time cleaning it.
Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. I imagine that Lester would have superhero bed sheets. Like that's in the mental image. How realistic is that?
He may have them, but he puts them under the regular bed sheets.
Right.
So no one sees them. He's only, it's his thing.
Are they on a race car bed?
No.
No, it's a bunk bed. Is it a race car bunk bed? Like an English double decker?
Yeah.
Nope, military issue.
Okay.
It makes me feel like I'm at home.
Exactly, man. Hay's gray and underway, blankets.
And then there's a picture of Mama Moore on the nightstand.
Of course.
With a glass of milk that I left there, but I'm taking it to the sink and cleaning it out now. Yeah, I had to make the bed first, of course.
Of course.
Soy milk.
Yeah.
Not just milk.
Right.
Mo's still not totally settled into her place. When she walks in, it's pretty basic. She's still kind of half living out of her suitcase. There's a writing desk off to the side. There's a couch. There's a nice little table for Frank the Cactus to sit on by the window. And there is a bookshelf, which doesn't have a whole lot on it. Mo doesn't really... She's not still not familiar with handling all the equipment that Shadowrunners handle in the type of work that they do. So she's kind of inadvertently displaying her weapons because she just doesn't know where else to put her guns other than on the shelf when she's not using them.
Come over here to the teepee. You go inside the teepee flap, and on the outside is pictographs and bear imagery. You go inside, smoke comes billowing out. But when you go inside, it's relatively fresh. Plenty of room to move around. There's a fire in the center, and along the outer edges are large rocks with more of the pictographs and mystical sigils, totemry. So there's ferns and furs and...
And a photo of Mama Moore on your nightstand. How'd that get there?
She gave you one before she left, or before you left. Yeah.
In the picture, I'm bending down and she's giving me a kiss on the cheek.
That's so sweet.
This space is dedicated to magical crafting and spellcasting. Like, we could do rituals here and make magical items.
As long as you got the time in the Nuyen, you have the accommodations to make it so.
Perfect. And it's in a pretty good, safe place, so that's all good.
And with that, you guys are going to be spending the rest of your day sort of getting into place, turning your houses into homes. Pancetta, it is very convenient for me if you are here. I know you're not going to take them up on this offer.
Correct.
Since you have a medium lifestyle to attend to.
This is a bit of a downgrade for a corporate person, so I don't know if I want to live with the riffraff.
Look down at them in disgust. However, I don't think you are above lending a hand and helping them move, are you?
Of course not. I will definitely help my new friends because I might need their help one day.
Yeah, lift some boxes.
I might even get some soy pizza, but you probably won't partake in that.
No, I kind of frown when I'm offered a piece.
Oh, no. It's like modern day where you can go and get the gluten-free pizza where they make it in a separate kitchen. They have some places have soyless pizza. It's like $2 more for a pizza, though.
Nice.
I'm sure you can get like a deep fried breaded mushroom or something like that here that would be accommodating to your unusual dietary needs.
I like shrooms.
Can I get six?
Yeah, I mean, you have a bar on your island that's like its main exports. I'm sure they got a fryer in the kitchen.
I'm sure we can find some kind of paste for you to drink or eat.
I could have real food also. That's an option.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
It just costs more.
Why would you want to do that?
I'm glad you guys are thinking about this. I got a thing I'm going to bring up later. But we are reaching the end of the afternoon, maybe even the early evening, when there is a collective doorbell ring at each of your doors.
I will go, and in order to reach the doorknob, I got to step on a little bit of a stool to get to the doorknob to open it up.
Do you have to get on your little tippy toes?
Not if I'm on my stool.
When somebody comes to my door, they would be interrupting me polishing my bug stomper armor. And when I realize that someone's at the door, I have a lampshade that I throw over the top.
That'll hide it.
It's just a very large lampshade that goes like over the shoulders, and it's a lamp.
Oh.
The person who knocks on each of your doors is a elderly man who has some obvious cyberware in his head. And he greets you with a warm smile.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Sorry, it was so bright in here, I had to turn the lamp off. Hey, hi, I'm Lester Moore. Who are you?
Old man, human metatype. He's probably like late 50s, maybe even early 60s. He's got some cyberware. It looks like his eyes have been replaced, and he's got some LEDs that glow just under his skin. Howdy, my name is Matthew. Matthew Passipore. Dan suggested I come down and get acquainted with our new tenants. I want you to think of me as someone you could come to if you have any issues while you're living here. I'll come by at the first of each month and collect rent. There's some responsibilities that we need to see done. I'll delegate those responsibilities as need be. And whenever Dan has any big jobs arranged, he'll probably have me come and talk to you about it before you find out more. Before we proceed any further, how's everyone liking it so far?
Oh, it's fantastic!
This is just a great little space for old Frank and me.
So, seeing as it's the first of the month, if everybody has their new yen available, I'll collect that now. He holds out a cred stick for everyone. Sure.
Yeah.
It's time for a new job, friends.
Well, if you guys don't mind burning the midnight oil, I think I might actually have something aligned for you.
Yeah, we're listening.
Sure, Matthew.
I'm itching for some action.
Mr. Johnson wants you to pay a visit east to Ghoul Town.
You want us to go to Ghoul Town?
What you need us to do?
A lot of Dan's efforts rely on a peaceful relationship between him and the nearby ghoul community. Removing those ghouls from Goose Island without needing to rely on attrition was the critical aspect to remaining on this island uncontested. Nobody's going to be insistent on taking this land knowing they got ghouls in their backyard. Not if they're not willing to be friendly, at least.
Are they feral?
Some of them.
I know how difficult a feral ghoul can be if it gets caught under the porch. Yeah, Mama Moore had to chase one off with a broom once.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I got caught under the porch. And I was like, get out of here, ghoul! Get!
That's the sort of thing you might want to keep a varmint rifle around for.
That she did just fine. It was a pretty big broom. She knows how to use it. She's tougher than she looks.
We are, for the most part, friendly between the two of us here. As long as you explain that you're a representative of Haven Brewery, there shouldn't be any blood. Unless you go around making blood, that is. Which I recommend you do not do.
So, ghouls and Haven, friendly. Gotcha.
That shouldn't be a problem. We've got pretty good blood.
Great.
My blood's great.
As such, Dan often reaches out to make sure that the nearby ghoul community isn't left needin' for anything. You know, a little neighborly love goes a long way when the whole city wants you dead. An associate of ours by the name of Dante has reached out recently, requesting assistance for anyone who's available.
I'd be happy to help.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's kind of a thing I enjoy doing, is spreading a good message and bringing the neighborhood together.
It's a goodwill mission.
Lester would be happy to help, and I will help.
Dante's a good guy. I think his motives are in the right place. He's a farmer near out in Goldmine. Go ahead and reach out there, see what you can find. I'm sure if it's work worth doing, it's work worth getting paid for.
So, go meet a ghoul named Dante. He's a good guy.
Good ghoul.
Right. Good ghoul named Dante.
Okay. I'm sure he didn't choose his own name. Or maybe he did.
We don't get to choose our own names, right?
Speak for yourself.
Lockdown holds up his character sheet.
Mama Moore picked my name out. I was named after my great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Ah, yes. All of us are using our real names.
Yeah, all of us. My real name is Lockdown.
Ebony Darkness Dementia Ravenway is totally obviously my real name.
Oh, yeah.
We're not supposed to use our real names? Oh, crap.
Man, I was expecting to get a bath, but whatever. Fine.
You could take a bath first. Although, you might want to take a bath after.
I mean, I am going to Ghoul Town. If I take a bath, it would just be worthless, right?
You'd just make yourself smell too good.
Yeah. Well, okay, we'll get into the Bulldog and go that way. Who's riding with me and who's driving themselves?
I'll drive myself.
I'm going in the Bulldog.
I'll just drive behind you.
Okay.
The Bulldog has room for everyone, then I'm not worried about it.
Definitely.
Bulldog has plenty of room.
Okay, great. Then that's what I'll do.
You guys aren't referring to it by its proper name, the Community Hustle.
Yes, the Community Hustle.
The Community Hustle. That's right.
Yeah.
Love it. Going through the zone here from Goose Island to this Ghoul Town area.
It's a very short ride.
Yeah, it's just really like 4 or 5 blocks.
Yeah, you could walk if you were so inclined to. I imagine the van would probably be safer, though.
Yeah. Oh, what? What is this place?
Yeah, some fancy digs they got here.
Welcome to Ghoul Town.
Oh, this is nice.
Formerly known as Cabrini Green, this district wasn't lifted by the awakening of the Sixth World like much of the surrounding area. It was left behind, like a broken limb being dragged by a body that kept on walking. The arcologies rose, the maglevs hummed, and the corporate zones gleamed just a few blocks away. But here, that's where all the promises curdled. The city's progress circled around it like rain circles around a clogged drain. Never touching, just corroding away. And the people who remained? They stayed hungry. Sometimes for food, sometimes for fairness and opportunity, and eventually even for meta-humanity. The buildings don't just sag here. They slump like broken shoulders buckling under years of neglect. Some tilt inward, as if whispering secrets to one another. Others lean outward, daring gravity to finally finish the job.
It's not so bad. You just throw up a fresh coat of paint, and as I lean against a wall, the entire building crumbles. Maybe a little bit of spackle. All right, let's go, guys.
Years of acid rain have stripped away paint and pride alike, leaving behind exposed rebar and cracked concrete like bones poking through flesh. Streetlights flicker overhead in rhythmic spasms, casting shadows that twitch and stretch like something flailing in fear. Power lines crisscross above in tangled veins, pulsing with an unstable current. It's not scaffolding, it's a skeleton, a half-buried corpse of a neighborhood, still twitching the last death throes of civic intent. As Cabrini-Green slips into night, the skyline bruises with rust and violet. The last of the day filters through shattered windows, painting the interiors in a sickly glow. Neon signs at street level start to sputter to life, half lit, half lies, advertising services that might exist at prices that may just be too good to be true. But the real nightlife begins in the alleyways, where movement begins to stir. Shapes dart between dumpsters and broken fences, some being ghouls, others being worse. And if they see you too, you better hope it's not just as calories. Ghoultown was billed as a social experiment, a place where infected and uninfected alike could coexist together. But when the bug spirits started to tear through the CZ, this was the last refuge for the city's most undesired, the displaced, the infected, and the discarded. Many arrived with nothing but desperation, and desperation builds communities. Not clean ones, not safe ones, but ones that know how to survive. There is an elephant in the room to address. Food here is a currency of necessity. The ghouls gotta eat after all. Livestock is raised in cramped pens far from public view. Scavenged meat is traded in back alleyways, and sometimes your source of protein may best be left unspoken. Not because it's twisted, but because it's Tuesday, and you haven't eaten since Friday. Kitchens around here don't ask questions, and if something crunches in your burrito, it's best not to dwell on it. Hunger has a way of making sinners out of saints and meals out of strangers.
I'm willing to try anything. I got an iron stomach. I like exotic food.
In addition, it is a great source of ammunition, firearms, just about anything else the unfortunate traveler down a dark alleyway might have on before being donated to the local kitchen.
The bulldog van rolls to a stop, its engines vibrating the ground nearby as it idles. Beside it, Lester's chopper engine roars in triumph one final time before cutting out, leaving behind the scent of scorched rubber and cheap synth oil in its wake. They park outside a squat concrete block with a flickering sign and a front lot littered with broken furniture and rusted out vending units. It looks less like a building and more like a dare. Two figures begin to approach from the shade near the entrance. Ghouls. Their clothes hang in tatters. Shredded jackets, pants worn to threads, fabric clinging to them like old skin. One moves with a slow, deliberate gait, head tilted to the side as if listening to the van's engine. The other sniffs the air, revealing a split upper lip and a row of filed, razor-sharp teeth that haven't seen a toothbrush in years.
Hey, check it out. Meals on wheels.
Soap, blood, and a drink. Fear cuts through everything else.
One of their hearts is racing.
Not the big one.
Your comment, sir, was not funny. Those are my friends in there. My name is Lester Moore. How do you do?
We do well enough. Always on the lookout for good people.
You say your friends are good? Would you have them over for dinner even?
Wait a minute. I'm going to look at him and kind of give him an ocular pat down. Look him up and down. When you say have them for dinner, double entendre. Wait a minute. Don't eat my friends. Those are my friends. Don't eat my friends. We're here on business.
Business is best conducted face to face. We can handle all sorts of business. What's your trouble?
Every transaction begins with a taste.
And at that, I'll open up the back end. I'll step out all big and scary-like as a troll. And say,
hey, you want to chew on something? You can chew on me. That's a lot of meat.
It'll last well. Salt the joints. Hang it somewhere dry. Last through winter.
No need to stop by the farmer's market after all.
You don't happen to know a guy named Dante, do you?
Dante? Ah, Drek.
A we didn't smell them on you. We didn't know you guys were associates of Dante.
Trust me, if we had, I wouldn't be standing this close.
That's right.
I'll extend my arm and my baseball bat will come out of my sleeve and I'm like, I think you've made the right choice, friend. Tell me more of where Dante is.
Easy. You swing that thing and you lose your only lead. I know where Dante is. I'll tell you. You're gonna want to head down to the old meatpacking plant off Hope and Gate. It's got a massive storm grate behind it. You'll know the one. Big rusted hatch, half covered in grease and bone dust. Smells like the vents of recycling something that never even had a pulse to begin with. Drop in and follow the runoff. When the light fades entirely and the walls start to sweat, you know you're getting close. Keep moving forward and you'll find the service room. You'll know it. Floors buckled like something tried to claw its way out. Ceilings half collapsed and sagging like loose skin. Start looking in there for two rusted pipes that stick out of the wall like tusks. Look between them and you'll find a narrow passage where the wall gave up and fell in. Just big enough to move through without needing to duck your head. In the space above, someone carved Abandoned Hope. Deep, like they wanted it to bleed.
That's not graffiti. That's the marker. That's where the place stops pretending to be a ruin and starts remembering what it was built to hide.
9 turns past that. Don't count, just move. If you hear crying, best to ignore it. If you hear singing, well, start running and don't stop.
I'm gonna rev up the community hustle. Like I'm like, hey, we gotta go.
I'm gonna do a figure eight on my way out.
It's like a 45-foot drive from your current location. You're like,
So you can do a Yui on the street and then we get out.
All right, I'm gonna get out of the car, make sure everyone's out before I make sure that car's locked. I'm like, okay, nobody forgot anything in the car, right?
I'm actually glad that you mentioned that. I was wondering if we could do a gear up compilation. I was wondering what people were bringing with them as they walk out in Ghoul Town.
What we're all geared up with? Things haven't changed much.
If there's anything worth addressing otherwise, like Riverbear, I know you basically got your heavy coat and your walking stick.
Yep.
It's basically the same thing. I have yet to get that cyber deck hacked, but I am bringing a new set of lockpicks in my backpack just in case.
Ooh. Still just have my business suit, my pistol, and my knife.
Yep, I'm going to be walking around. I'm not going to be wearing the bug stomper armor because I'm not looking to stomp anybody. I'm here trying to parlay. So I'm in my classic armor jacket with all my cool tools inside.
All of my stuff is breakdown. So I'm going to bring my pistol, which I always have holstered. I don't break it down usually. And then I have my submachine gun, which I am going to keep broken down. So it kind of looks like compact on my body, but it's obviously in a sling. And then I have a briefcase, and my briefcase is where my Colt M23 is. And that's I'm just going to carry that around like a regular old briefcase.
What kind of cyberware do y'all have for dealing with darkness? As you guys start going down, it gets dark fast. As I'd mentioned before, ghouls are blind. Did I mention that? Do you guys know that ghouls are blind? What do you guys know about ghouls?
You mentioned it.
I know they're misunderstood.
They are definitely misunderstood. I think that is, on the whole, a true statement.
How common are they in 2080 throughout the world?
Unfortunately, they are becoming more and more common, if by only virtue that they gotta eat.
Ghouls gotta eat.
To answer your question, I have cyber eyes, low light vision, and flare compensation.
And I got the thermographic.
I also have thermographic vision and low light vision.
I have a flashlight.
There you go, a flashlight will negate this problem real quick.
I have regular eyes. I didn't trade in my eyes like you.
Boom, regular eyes. Just hold River Bear's hand.
Yeah.
Like a buddy system, you'll be fine. I still have more questions about ghouls though. If I have a living lifestyle where I've grown up in a corporate environment and probably spent a lot of time living in narcology, would this be the first time that I probably have met a ghoul?
It is very possible. That's the first time you've ever encountered a ghoul. That might be true for all of you, even.
There we go. That answers my question. So every time that we're around them, I want to make sure that I am visibly uncomfortable by their presence. Like, as cool and collected as I am all the time, just, like, their disgusting ghoulness. Ugh.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
There's a disease called HMHVV I'm going to talk about that you guys probably all learned about, like, either on the streets or just through school. The long story short is this is like a vampiric virus that once you're infected, you start getting symptoms of ghoulification, like, you know, basically zombie. Like, you sustain yourself on flesh, you hunger on essence. So when they bite something, they drain their essence in the same way that, like, you lose essence when you get cyberware.
Yeah, but ghouls still have rights.
I mean, if you were to haul one in to the actual authorities, what would happen?
Kind of depends where you are is the most correct answer. In Chicago, they'll probably just be like, is he dangerous? No, we have other things to deal with.
Okay.
How about, will you catch charge if you kill one?
There's no bounty for ghouls in the UCAS. That being said, ghouls that perform like crime, organized or otherwise, are typically not tolerated with extreme prejudice.
Let me rephrase that. Are they less than dead?
They are less than dead, yes.
Okay.
That's so sad. Brings a tear to my eye.
They're trying to make a life that, you know, they don't have to go out and pick people off the streets. As long as you're morally okay with long pig farms, you know, you can stay alive.
Of course I'm okay with that.
I am definitely not okay with that.
Nope.
What? You're not okay with long pig farms? Nope.
I'm a long pig, so no.
No, no.
As a spokesman for long pigs.
During this entire discussion, Mo is just kind of aghast, speechless.
Oh, yes.
We're just walking down Ghoul Town and just discussing this out loud.
This is the conversation you're having so that Lester doesn't get scared in the dark.
I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of the dark. Don't accuse me of being afraid of the dark. You're afraid of the dark.
Oh, yeah, back to the dark. I have all the eyes.
Yeah, you're able to see too.
Oh, okay, good.
That's a lot of eyes.
And she just keeps them in her pocket like that.
Come on, Lester, this way.
But seriously, I might protest for ghoul rights. It's just not right the way they're treated.
You're cool with that cannibalism, huh?
I think there's a way to supplement the cannibalism. I mean, ghouls are people too. Or they were.
They were. The thing about ghouls is they need to feed on live things, and livestock is tricky in 2080. Like, it's not unavailable just because it's too expensive to do, although there's a little bit of truth to that as well. It's because it's dangerous. There is a lot of disease that grows when livestock is kept in improper conditions. Mm-hmm. So if this stuff spreads in the wrong communities, it could cause a pretty nasty outbreak. And a part of what they're doing here is trying to keep a nice balance between keeping everyone fed, having enough to make excess and profit off of, and not causing a pandemic.
It's just too bad.
Sounds like a risky situation. Let's go in.
Should we maybe see about getting some sort of personal protective equipment for this venture?
I'm sure we'll be okay.
That sounds like it would have been a great idea like 30 minutes ago.
Yep.
Try to put your hand over your mouth or something. I don't know. Let's go in.
Thankfully for me, I have all sorts of good stuff.
I have this gas mask.
I am going to turn on my air tank.
If you got an internal supply, put down your internals.
Yep.
I'm going to continue to like talk about ghoul rights, but it'll be extremely muffled. Ghoul rights. Modern day.
This will be for 1 hour.
I won't tell him about the subdermal microphone as we continue talking.
Everyone has a subdermal mic, right? They're cheap. You should get one if you don't.
Yep.
Subvocal.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Subvocal, sorry.
Subdermal mic and a subvocal mic are two different things.
Entirely different.
Totally subvocal, bro.
While we are walking down this pitch dark tunnel, the walls have been destroyed. When you turn a sharp corner, you could see somebody waiting at that corner, sniffing with his nose in the air.
Hey, are you Dante?
He's got like a hole in his head.
Yeah, he is very visually obviously a ghoul. He has those same white glossed over cataracty eyes, possibly boils or
scarring.
It's kind of unfortunate, rather. Hey, you can't choose how you look like, right?
Right.
Whatever it is, it's a bit yucky.
Mm-hmm. Man, you're just mean. Yeah, we were sent by
Matthew at Haven, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
He has you all sit down and he says, I'm glad you were all able to come out so fast. I have a problem that requires some outside help.
We're happy to help.
Well, we're inside right now.
And as he goes to explain on more, we will come back next time on Bug City Blues.
Bye, everybody.
It's break time.
Bye.
Yo, Shadow Punks, here's a shadow fact for you.
Berlin. It's a bug. Not a feature. Not a feature.
We are a German actual play Shadowrun podcast. Oi Omar, willkommen in Berlin. Willkommen im Status F. Ein Shadowrun 6 actual play podcast. Yeah, that's right.
a fucking German actual play. Our podcast is edited fast-paced, we get super high production value, and the sound design is top-notch. In our AP, we focus on character development and immersive storytelling. Oh, come on, ChatGPT, that is so fucking generic, absolutely bullshit, nothing saying. You need to highlight the things that set us apart from other actual plays, like that we are very, very focused on the rules, because we play in Germany, and in Germany you play by the rules. Also, fun fact, we only use military march music for the score. Yeah, okay, that's a total lie. But anyhow, slot your Saxonia and Lingosoft and give us a listen everywhere where you find podcasts. And now back to the show.
Who wants to lead the pack? Let's say, Reetin. Reetin's feeling brave, right?
Hey, it's me. I'm leading the pack. Why am I feeling brave? I don't like feeling brave.
I guess I will have my submachine gun ready, just in case.
And I have my my cyber ears engaged to see if I can hear anything up ahead of us.
Ooh, good call, girl.
I feel like I spent a lot of time describing just how eerie, just how frightening these tunnels are. Is everyone spooked? Is everyone feeling a little nervous?
Yep, yes. Definitely.
I feel like if I touch the walls, I'm going to need a tetanus shot.
That is a very distinct possibility.
It's the water dripping that drives me crazy.
He welcomes you into a little corner niche of this tunnel where he's got a table and a few chairs set up. You all have a seat, and he says, right, let me get my ghoul voice on.
I'm glad you guys could come out as fast as you did. We have a problem, and I think the longer we take, the colder this trail's gonna get. I have an associate by the name of Weaver. She handles some of our town's necessities, like clean water sources. She was all excited because she heard about this deal that sounded too good to be true. In fact, she even sent a convoy because she was a little nervous about it, but she swore this would get us through the rest of the winter and we won't have to worry about boiling water or anything. Well, she never came back, and none of the rest of the scouts did either.
Oh no.
And she never answered any of her trid calls. I fear the worst, and between you and me, this would be a critical loss for the community.
Do you have a last known location on the Matrix?
I don't have their last known location, unfortunately, but I do have where they were going to meet. Weaver was smart enough to let us know before she left where she was going.
All right. Do you know any if there were any security systems, either on the vehicle that they were taking or at the location that they were going?
I'm a farmer. I don't really know a lot of those technical details. I'm sure there are details to find, but I don't have them for you. I'm sorry, Mr. Dwarf.
All right. So are there any doors to pick the lock of?
I'm going to confidently say yes.
Perfect. Get to test out my new lock picks.
What kind of hazards are we looking at between, you know, where we are and our objective? What precautions do you recommend we take to get this done?
I suppose if you have a vehicle, make sure it's safe enough to drive around the Barrens, as long as you can get there in one piece. I unfortunately don't really have anything to give you as far as precautions at this time.
All right.
But we have a known location, an area?
I do have a location. Their planned meet is inside of an old tune-up shop.
Well, I think that's a place to start. Well, sir, we are the solution to your problems. You can count on us.
And I'd be happy to compensate if you're able to get our group back alive. I do fear that if we take too long, our window of opportunity will shrink.
All right, let's get on it then.
Yeah.
How much is that compensation?
Could I offer you 15,000 nuyen on the whole to get my friend back?
Sounds fair.
Of course. Time is of the essence, it sounds like.
Usually we'd haggle more, but this sounds pretty
good. Come on, come on.
It's pretty urgent, yes.
I'll grab you by the collar and be like, come on, we gotta go. Someone's in trouble.
Everything goes black and white for a moment, and a booming voice from the heavens echoes out.
You should negotiate for more money, young Shadowrunners.
And just for a moment, it feels like time goes back to normal again.
Hey, Mo, what do you think about 15? I think for some reason, I think you should negotiate for more.
Yeah, 15,000 is a little low.
Yeah, what else can you add to sweeten the deal? Can you maybe bump it up a little bit? So I'm just rolling influence. 11 dice, 4 hits.
There you go. And he goes, yeah, I could fairly compensate you for this. I'm mostly worried that if we send another envoy of ghouls out there, you know, we're just going to keep on losing people at this point. I'm hoping to have someone go out and take care of this on the first try. And for that, and with your 4 hits, I think I could go as high as 22,000 Nuyen.
Ooh, well, that's better.
Okay.
I'll get a new cyber deck someday.
What's the name of the person we're finding again?
She goes by the name of Weaver.
All right, and now we're going to get 22 grand. Do we get any of that up front, or is that going to be... Yeah, and we should talk about that later.
No, you're right. For 4 hits, I will give you 8,000 of that up front.
Okay. Heck yeah.
I'm going to still be standing in the room, but the rest of my body is leaning out the door, kind of going, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
We each get 1,600 apiece.
Okay.
And now we shall drive to the location. Everyone into the community hustle.
And he's like, all right, go forward until it starts getting really cold, then take a left, and then when you see the rubble, go right, and you guys are already gone as he's continuing to explain the way.
I'm just going to put it in my GPS.
We'll do more reconnaissance when we get up there.
But before we get into the van, I'm going to be like, hey, guys, make sure that anybody that has to go, that you go right now, because we're not stopping until we get there.
The voice of God pauses again and says, great idea.
All right, let's go.
You might want to zoom out a little bit, or you could zoom in close. I put a whole lot of work on this map here. Can you guys see yourself on the road there?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
And I can see into the building. I see a couple guys outside. I see a camera inside.
You should be able to see into the building. There's a whole lot of glass there. You could see that camera on there. It's not hidden or nothing like that. There should be walls you can't see past, though.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Ooh.
Looks like we're pulling into a hot zone.
First thing is you notice as you come over here, there's a couple of broken down vehicles next to what looks like it used to be gas pumps that have long since just become inoperable. There are two people standing outside. Both of them have weapons at the ready. They just kind of look like they're standing at guard. Not really hiding, but not trying to stand out, you know?
Yeah.
As you look inside of the building, it looks empty. However, you notice that there is somebody hiding behind a cash register and another person hiding behind a shopping aisle. Looks like there's a coffee machine and some condiments on it. And they're trying not to be seen. Like they're intentionally trying to be not a sight.
I'm going to tell the team about that. I'm going to take a picture with my cyber eyes and then send it to the team as a text message. Say, hey, you guys see these guys?
We're not really an initiative yet, so as a couple minor actions, you draw some arrows on them. That's augmented reality objects.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ping them like you do in first-person shooters.
All right.
And before we get into initiative, I do notice the camera. I would like to try to get into their system.
Yeah, absolutely. I have, I think, everything I need for that. Did you want to try to do this via brute force, or did you want to sleaze your way in?
I would like to sleaze my way in.
Casing.
Let me take a moment and just describe the rest of the building. I don't think I really gave it an honest attempt when we started this.
If I can, I'd prefer to just do like some general reconnaissance around it, just Agreed. To keep an eye.
Yeah, give us a drive around. Yeah.
Yes.
The entrance to this place has a couple of vehicles that have been broken down or long since don't look like they're operable. You know, like the wheels are taken off level of this ain't going nowhere. Cluttered amongst the broken fuel pump, what do you call those, carousels, whatever.
Apparatus.
Yeah, the pumps. They're using these broken down vehicles and the pumps as makeshift barricades. Inside, it looks like it's mostly set up for people to sit around and spend Nuyen while they're waiting on their car to be fixed. You can see a couple of places to get food, buy snacks, get something to read. It looks like there's a couple of spaces in the back, but they're hidden behind doors that you can't otherwise see past. There are two large garage doors on the side of this place. Continuing down further, there is an alleyway.
Oh, and it's too thin for the vehicle to drive down?
You could see that there's a whole bunch of, like, trash bins and stuff through there. That because they are stacked where they are, you probably couldn't fit even a motorcycle.
Right.
Not even doing a cool dirt bike trick?
You'd have to roll real well on a drive check.
I'm not going to do that. That would be offensive to safety.
And then as you turn the other way, like you go around the block and you come back here, there is a little bit of a fenced off place. It looks like it's probably like the trash or something like that. Parking spots.
The fencing looks like it's got privacy slats so you can't see through it.
It's not an advanced barricade, it's just an efficient one.
Like tarps. Okay.
I do admire a good barricade.
See a couple of doors. You see an alleyway that might hold more. A little fenced-in area. The two people who are standing outside, the ones who aren't making an attempt to be hidden, pacing and keeping their head on a little bit of a swivel.
What are they armed with?
You could see these two people outside are armed with Colt Manhunter, which is a heavy pistol. They also both appear to have a baton on their side.
So they both got big irons and sticks.
And they're wearing, like, heavy leathers. Mm-hmm. Armored jackets, it looks like. Yeah,
sounds like chumps to me.
Easy pickings just north of Ghoul territory. Let's go back to Reetin, who was looking at the cameras earlier. Were you ready to go?
I am ready to go. I'm doing backdoor entry. Out of 13 dice, I hit 4. Ah.
You succeed.
Oh, good. I did it. I am now in the camera system.
As you get this new viewpoint, I mean, you already saw them, but the two people you were able to spot before become very, very visible. And it looks like there's a couple other cameras on this network.
I would click the button to go to the other cameras just to get as much of a viewpoint as possible.
I will review this location. Please give the map a second to update. Boop. Did that work?
That did. Hey, there's blood on the ground.
Yes, you do see that there is a trail of blood. It looks like it's going to one of the bathrooms, but the camera angle doesn't really give you the wall that it's on.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there is a air hockey table that looks like it's been pushed up to the wall. A couple of arcade machines that have had their fronts completely destroyed. There is a cooler. There is a jukebox. There's a little place to sit down.
Air hockey, you'd say.
That's the
important. Yeah, I really like air
hockey. Yeah, man. Air hockey's the best.
Are you sure that's blood? It might just be some jam.
Ketchup, barbecue sauce.
Maybe some red paint.
Somebody spilled Jell-O.
I mean, everybody always jumps to the conclusion that it's blood.
And then there's the other camera on the right.
You toggle to this room. Boop.
Oh.
Oh, there's a guy there.
You see a workshop that looks like it has a whole bunch of, like, tires, tire rims, car parts kind of scattered around. And one of the bigger trolls that you've ever seen in your life.
I'd hate to share a bathroom with that guy.
Yeah, River Bear's rather runty compared to this guy.
Yeah.
It's a big old, definitely a troll. His horns aren't as pronounced as some of his troll brethren, but it looks like he's making up for it by being a bodybuilder amongst even troll stature.
Yeah.
He's currently holding a very heavy chain in his hand, and it looks like he's manually aligning a vehicle, like a thing that you'd use a power tool for. He's just doing it by hand.
Jeepers.
So we don't want to make that guy mad.
You can see him working along in this room.
All right, well, these guys seem nice. Go talk to them. Or not. I don't know.
Yeah, what do we want to do? Just walking through the front door?
So by the air hockey table, there's a door. I would suggest if somebody could sneak in there and look in the back there, that might be where our person is.
All right, so we got a bit of a layout, guys.
I don't know if these guys up front are friendly. I'm going to assume not. And
agreed.
The giant troll is probably not friendly as well, so I'm not leaving the vehicle.
Lockdown with the troll racism.
I'm just saying, I think all of the people here don't look friendly. Have we really ran into friendly people when we're going on missions?
Not yet.
Not with diplomacy rolls like that you haven't.
Yeah, we've met some very friendly people. Those ghouls were pretty friendly earlier.
But I meant like once we get to the site.
Let's do this. Someone needs our help. We gotta go.
Quiet or loud?
How about both?
I'll go in through the front door.
And then we could have somebody circle around and try to get the people out the back door.
Gee, I wonder who that could be.
Who wants to go with you, Pancetta?
I have cat-like and some sneak skills, so I could go with Pancetta. We seem to end up paired up anyway a lot.
Cat-like only helps you fall.
So I should stop like acting like that's something more important than it is.
It is important if you get dropped off a building.
Okay.
You should spend more time falling off buildings. Got it.
I could levitate you up there. How about invisibility? That sounds better.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yes.
I mean, it's not my specialty, but I do have, I could stealth if you wanted to cast invisibility. Maybe I could sneak in.
I was thinking on Mo.
You could stealth until you need plan B.
Right.
So do we sneak in and rescue, or do we take down the troll first?
Well, I would imagine so. Somebody who's going through things to steal stuff. So I'm imagining in that back room, we're going to have to take somebody out.
Possibly the looter.
The looter could just be the survivor.
Yeah.
Looting for opportunity. Like, if I get out of here, at least I'll have something with me.
Yeah.
I have an idea. Why don't I just go and knock on the door and see if they answer it?
I don't think you're going to get to the door.
And then I'll say I'm looking for my friend Weaver, and we'll just kind of go from there.
I think those two guys are going to stop you there.
I used to play this game, and they would call that lawful stupid.
It is a good way to get shot.
I mean, but if you're really committed to this, Lester, I feel like I should back you up.
No, I think I should go in by myself.
Okay.
Silently?
I'll come in through the front.
Lockdown's going to stay with the car.
And then you guys come in through the back, and just in case there's something hairy. Because they could be very friendly. We don't know them.
Maybe I'll stay with the van, too. All right. So my intention is to cast invisibility on Mo.
And I'm sneaking around and trying to rescue people, right?
Yeah, you'll be going in to rescue along with Pancetta.
Okay.
So I rolled, one hit. So this is now the number of this test becomes the threshold on any test to see the character.
And go ahead and roll for drain.
Drain. It is a drain 4 spell. I got 3 hits, so another stun.
Your nose bleeds a little bit more. You've taken 3 boxes of stun.
I have.
You're built tough, though. You're fine.
Right.
All
right,
yeah. Moira, you look down at yourself, and you get a little sparkly for a second, and then you vanish before your very eyes.
I gotta say, if there's a back door, I assume if you guys just sneak in through the back door while I... quote unquote, knock on the front door.
What's this pole here?
I think that's a traffic light.
Yeah. Don't be licking it.
Lick it. That's good advice for Chicago in general. Don't lick it.
I'm thinking that Pancetta could probably climb that and then jump over to the canopy pretty easy. Mo might not be able to get in, but she's invisible, so she can always walk around.
Yeah, you got a car in the way. You got a pretty tall piece of sheet metal there. If you time it right, you can climb when they're not looking, and it's not impossible anyways. You're looking at it, and you think it's doable.
Yeah, I'm down to give it a shot.
You've played enough Assassin's Creed.
I've seen it in the trids.
All right, so we have the starts of a plan. It sounds like you want to go from the canopy, climb, and walk to the back of the building, and then find a way in from there.
Yep.
And so meanwhile, am I going to sneak around another way?
The invisible Mo, they could either climb or they could sneak around.
I can try climbing onto the canopy too. I mean, I've got a few points in athletics.
I by no means want to make it sound like one option is better than the other. Both are perfectly viable options. Whatever you think you're more comfortable with is the one I would go with.
Yeah, if you're probably more comfortable sneaking around rather than going up, we should probably go the same way.
Yeah, sneak around, find out what you can find out, and then we'll plan from there. But stay away from that big troll.
Definitely.
Yeah, I thought we were going to try to go around to that side.
Yeah, go to
where the air hockey table is, obviously.
Yes, and the blood.
Yeah.
The jam.
Well, there's also, if we can get all the way back here, it looks like there might be a metagame.
Yeah, there might be something there worth investigating. You'd have to get there to check it out,
though. But I feel like if we try to go around the building, there might be an easy access point. Not easy, but unguarded.
Agreed.
Yeah, just watch out for this guy. There looks like there's a really easy way for him to see out this window over here.
That's a good call. While we're having this conversation, I'm going to prep one of my frag grenades with like a little piece of like metal to fashion it into like a hook for when I knock on the door.
I don't think I understand how knocking will detonate a grenade, and I'm scared.
I'm just going to knock on the door politely.
An armed society is a polite society.
That's right.
Okay, so it sounds like I have an idea of what's going on. While Mo and Pancetta do the subterfuge route,
yep.
It sounds like we're going in, just based off our descriptions, on the left-hand side here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lester Moore, you are going to walk up to the front door. Are you going to give them a chance to walk in first, or are you going at the
same time? I'm going to give them a chance to walk in first to get in position, and then I'm going to time it for, you know, give them, as soon as they're gone, I'm going to wait like a good minute, 2 minutes. I'm going to knock on the door, and while I'm up against the door, I'm going to put the frag grenade on the doorknob, all like in a single motion, and then going to knock, pull the pin, and then it's going to explode. Like shaving a haircut to boom.
That seems incredibly dangerous. I'm excited to see how this goes.
Oh, I'm nervous.
What could go wrong with detonating a grenade in front of a gas station?
What could?
Lockdown, it sounds like you're staying in the Bulldog in case anyone tries to run from the Hellfire. You could go ramming speed.
I was just planning on driving away.
As soon as you drop off the runners, we never saw them again.
See ya.
So you're going to see me drawing on here real quick just so I could see what the plan is. And I do encourage you guys to do this like whenever you get a chance.
Oh, okay.
All right. we have a opportunity to get in here stealthily, perhaps get our mark out of here without anyone being any the wiser.
Yeah, that'd be the great way to do it. Yep.
Yeah.
Historically, how we've been doing it so far.
That's right.
Well, except for the death joust.
That's pretty cool.
Understandably so.
I guess we will readjourn next time on Shadowrun Bug City Blues. Say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, trolls.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye now.
The Topps Company Incorporated has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sounds, audio, video, and or any proprietary material used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company Incorporated has granted permission to Bug City Blues to use such names, logos, artwork, marks, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with Bug City Blues in any official capacity whatsoever.